Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Everyone, and welcome back to Star Fellows, your favorite D&D podcast in a galaxy far, far away. I am your Dungeon Master, Rob, and with me, as always, are some motherfucking legends. Hannah.
Woo!
Amelia Somm.
Let's go!
And Brennan.
Let's fuck some shit up!
You guys just killed two gay cyborgs. How do you feel?
Well, not good now when you put it like that, you fuck. I mean, way to rob me of the feeling of accomplishment, Rob.
Rob buried the gays. It's not our fault.
You fucking buried. He blew one up and buried the other one.
It's okay. We got two more over here. We got two main characters, so we're good. Probably three, honestly.
Rob is exceptionally bi. Rob is like resume? Me, although with somehow even less social skill.
All that happened last episode, as far as I'm concerned, is that three of you home invaded this lovely estate and cut short a beautiful romance between two Uber troopers named Grog and Butters.
Oh, please. You put them in the line of fire.
I know.
I don't feel bad.
They will be dearly missed, but they are currently resting in multiple gory pieces.
By whom? Each other? They're both dead. They will not be missed.
You don't know what their social life was like. Somebody had to take that romantic photo of them screaming at the beach.
That's true.
Love like that doesn't get captured on film by accident, you know?
I'm killing your character when I DM again.
Are you sure you want to lobby that threat at me right now?
I'm kidding.
I'll do it.
A lightning storm starts brewing overhead.
Good thing we're inside.
Wow, I love Hades Town.
Okay. In all seriousness, the party moved from the living room area where they had begun the episode. Akala creaked open the sliding door, got shot at by a Gatling laser gun, immediately dipped back. Her two friends, El and Rama hatched a little sneaky little plan involving some mines and some grenades. Not knowing what was on the other side of the door, they burst in. El, using his force powers, pulled in a probe droid, slapped two grenades on that. Rama came charging right in behind him like a hero, slapped one grenade on that of his own, taking some shots and shooting back along the way. El then, like a demon-possessed, launched this cannonball of a droid directly into the Uber Trooper Grog's chest, right as his lover and fellow Uber Trooper Butters came out to greet him about some news he saw in the paper. He watched his lover and this droid explode into a million pieces and was subsequently slain and double tapped in the skull by El and Akala.
Yes,
were they fabulous? Yes. Are they alive still? No.
I simply would not die in such a gross manner, is the thing.
Simply avoid mortality.
Yeah. That is, it comes for you all. I think that is really like a phrase that Amelia lives by.
It's very Amelia core of me, I know.
Good Lord. Okay, the other thing that happened just before we left off is that you guys found the blueprints for a special piece of technology that was found in the bottom drawer of Rosie's childhood, quotation marks, childhood desk in a room labeled for her at the second floor of the Rakut estate. Those blueprints are for the mind device, the multiple intelligences nebular device. And as you guys observed through a series of investigation technology checks, this thing utilizes kyber crystals to divert energy away from a center spherical object that is undescribed in the blueprints, but is apparently an object that requires a tremendous amount of technology to control, use, suppress. Unclear. We don't know. But that's where you guys left off. You have found a series of other doors labeled after some other scrubs that apparently live here. I do want to remind Akala that you have the key to Grog and Butters' room if you want to go snoop some more in there. If you want to desecrate their romance even more, you filthy savages.
All right. Tone it down in here. You only give me the tools that I have for destruction. Sure. Why not? Let's do it.
All right. You go to the door that Butters walked out of when he saw his beloved burst into a million tiny pieces. You go in there and you see a ton, just like an absolute, like, unbearable amount of heavy metal band posters that are plastered head to toe throughout the entire room. There is a incredibly tasteful four-corner bed with bedposts and like very like lacy and like delicate like banister, like what do they call them, like sheets around the banisters. So it is like a four-poster bed that is very well made with like nice pillows. It is a canopy, thank you, that's the word I was looking for. There's like a workbench that have like some cybernetic parts. There's some ammo crates. There are guns that are mounted on the wall. There are some pictures of Grog and Butters in various locales around the world. There's some pictures of them drunk out in the Power and Lights District. There is a picture of them when they were seemingly, unmodified, and you see, a handsome, very kind of like regal-looking Arcadian man and a shorter, kind of stockier human male just out to dinner looking very normal sometime before they got wrapped up in all this. And then all the other pictures, you can kind of see them progressively getting more and more cybernetics and becoming like scarier and scarier. You also find, just looking around, like a huge pile of medical bills for what looks like a very serious, like non-Earth terrestrial
space autoimmune. Cancer.
Yeah, space cancer, an autoimmune disease that that Butters contracted at some point in the past 20 years that the bills have just piled and piled up on.
Well, now you've made me sad.
Okay, so really, Rob is the homophobic one. What the hell?
Yeah, oh my God.
Jesus. Rob introduces two characters, blows them up, and gives one cancer.
Yeah, this is all
I wanted them to win that fight. I wanted their love to succeed, but no,
you three,
the heroes, had to do cool things and make them die quick.
Rob was like, all right, guys, either the podcast ends mid-season from Party Wipe, or you murder two gays. That's a rock in a hard place.
Listen, gay on gay crime is fine.
So can I loot the room to see if they've got like some blasters that maybe upgrades to mine or something, or there's maybe special ammo or anything these guys might have lying about?
So you find two frag grenades and a stun grenade. So you can add those to your inventory.
Are those like mine grenades, or they can be set to time? Or detonator, or do they have to be thrown like grenades?
I'm going to say that these are these grenades are not remote detonating. Fuck that.
Got it.
These are like old school like World War II like pull the pin fragmentation grenades, and same with stun grenades. If you want to replenish your supply of mines, I'm going to have to make you go buy those. Buy them from the company store, I guess, from Rosie.
Anybody got 450 credits? They're 150 apiece. Actually, we're not there yet. Anyway, three grenades. Yeah. Got it.
Also, Elle is not snooping through the room.
I'm not either.
Yeah, because you're a decent person.
Yeah.
Rom is not a sentimental man, you know?
So a couple things. So while you guys are kind of rummaging through these rooms, you like hear like doors around the house kind of like you hear doors around the house kind of like open and close, and you like continue to hear like sounds of people fleeing the building. So there's like the like civilian workers and droids have like relocated essentially like out of the building. So for the meantime, you guys are kind of completely alone. Monkey appears in front of you guys now that the battle has cleared, and he is kind of like sat and posted himself up near the stone door, like the stone border door, I should say. The door itself is wood, but there is a stone part of the wall that is somewhat rounded and like tower shape adjacent. You get the picture. It's the door to the tower. He's sitting by the door to the tower.
The door is tower. Door is exactly. Tower. The tower is specifically for the door.
After Rosie's room, I'll probably just head that way and just kind of sit opposite Monkey.
Yeah, I'll head over there too.
Arms crossed, kind of leaning up against the banister, or Monkey's against the banister, leaning up against the wall, whichever.
Monkey like mirrors your posture and like also crosses his arms and like head nods to you and goes.
I head nod back.
He pulls out a pair of shades that he had taken from one of the cars earlier and just puts them on.
Yeah, Elle doesn't need the shades to be cool.
Yeah, are you gonna tell that to this droid monkey?
No.
You're gonna look this droid monkey in the face and be, hey, I don't need sunglasses to be cool.
I'm letting you know,
the pettiness of the sentiment of just like
I'm just letting you know, like if Elle had to say that, then automatically they'd be less cool from it. I'm just letting you know that Elle it looks pretty damn cool.
Yeah. Yeah, Elle's rad. You got that Durasteel armor, with the sleeveless, you know. You got like the metal pads like sewn into your
rocking
your
it like
thing.
Percival from Merlin, like the BBC TV show he's always inexplicably sleeveless. Like everyone will be in full chainmail and his biceps are just showing off. Hey, like man, that's the energy.
You gotta cut costs somewhere, and if it's the sleeves, it's the sleeves, you know.
If it's the sleeves, it's the sleeves.
Like, you could go more sleeve and then crop top, but, like, no. That's not how he plays that.
Mm-mm. That's what I would do.
Yeah. Maximum belly button. That's what we go for in our outfits.
I just like a good crop top.
What the fuck are we even talking about? Back to D&D.
Seeing how long I could drag it out before you would, like, snap back. It's like a little game I play with myself.
Okay. What would you guys like to do?
I want to go through the wooden door that's surrounded by stone.
Thank you. Wonderful. Great. Let's head there.
I'm always trying to stay on plot.
You could have snooped around the other rooms too, but you don't have to. We're good to go. So you enter the stone door. This is a simple spiral stone tower that is mostly just plain gray masonry stone, akin to what you would see like in cathedrals. And you walk into this big circular room, and instead of like stairs going up, it is there's a grav lift in the center. And looking up, you see a plane of hard light that you know is like semi-permeable. So you could take the grav lift up to one layer and land, and then it looks like there is a second layer up above you. But yeah, so if you could step into the grav lift to go up, but there's like nothing on this like first initial layer of the tower.
Oh, we need to go to the top floor of the tower for sure, right?
I would reckon.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get on that grav lift.
All right. So you guys all step together in unison onto this like 10-foot diameter grav lift that shoots you up one layer. You shoot up about 50 feet into the air, land at a platform, and you look around and you see that you are in the middle of a room in this tower that is, it looks to be just like a pretty advanced workshop. In fact, it shares a lot of similarities to Rosie's workshop that you're very familiar with. There are various benches with mechanical arms that suspend droid parts and other machinery into the air that can be worked on. There are various tables and benches for people or droids to lay down and be repaired at. You see that there are multiple bookshelves packed to the brim with books and loose blueprints. This median level of the tower is much less grotesque than the like anatomy weird cadaver situation that was going on in the basement. This place doesn't seem like it is dealing with any sort of flesh or body parts. All you see around are equipment for droids, small little tinkering things, like other miscellaneous kind of craftables, and what looks like medical supplies as well, like traditional medicine supplies. So you're seeing like not like surgical, like, oh, creepy doctor. You're seeing like things that are like, no, like we've got like vials and like actual chemistry sets, things that you would need in a lab to run like blood tests and all that sort of thing. Yes. So if you guys would like to kind of learn more about the equipment in this room and things that, and just like get some more information, go ahead and roll me some investigation checks.
Real quick, can I cast a healing on myself?
Yes, you may.
Since I am kind of low.
That's a 15 for me.
I will also investigate.
Okay. That is a 17 for me.
That's a nat 1 for me, so ignore me.
Okay.
Too busy healing.
Too busy healing.
Okay, so we'll start with the lower roll first with L. So L, you look around and you find some clerical documents in the bookshelf that kind of are you able to piece a little bit of a story from. So you see first that like this man gets regular billings and manifests for shipments of quote unquote like leftover soon to be perishable food. So essentially, like the manifests show that he has been ordering all of the prison's like food scraps for years since the prison's been built. You see that there is a ton of financial transactions for miscellaneous things going back and forth from Veltzerakid and the Vlad Tetraplex prison. You also find some notes and some inbox messages about repairs to the house that have been done in the last week. You see some like bill statements for hiring new security. You see some pay raises from some existing workforce. You also see payments for things like workplace accidents. You see that there is a large bill run up for I mean, you don't need to know basically all the names, but like for the guards that you disposed of in the basement, you see that basically like they had incurred a ton of like workers' comp benefits from this guy under some contract they have where like he covers their medical costs, but the trade-off being that he's the one that repairs them. So he has basically been grafting all of his soldiers as compensation for getting injured and like partially destroyed during the previous invasion, and then has hired new people and built or acquired other droids like the probe droids to supplement his defenses. Additionally, there's one other thing. Well, so separately, this is what Rama finds on the higher role. Rama, you go over to his workbench, and there's a picture frame of a much younger looking, skinnier male Vulturite with a female Vulturite who you recognize has basically the same facial features as the porcelain mask that Rosie was wearing in the painting in her room. And you see that they are on a like disgustingly polluted and dirty like sand dune speeder or pod racing track. Like they are essentially at a pod racing event with a pod racer in the background on a very polluted kind of deserty looking world. You fiddle with it, and like behind it is a newspaper clipping that has been preserved in a like pane of glass that is like on, like face down on the desk, so it's like kind of like on like under directly this photo frame. And you pick it up, and it is like a highly decayed like actual newspaper clipping that is dated a date in the Vulturite like common language that I don't even know if you can read. But
I could
like,
roll a high DC lore check if you'd like.
Yeah, roll me a really high. Yeah, roll me a lore check. It's
all gonna, right, that's a 9.
Yeesh. Not good. In the alternative, just roll me a flat intelligence check.
That's no better. Let's see here. That's a 17. No, wait, minus 1. That's a 16.
Okay, that'll do it. So, in terms of lore, you have no idea what the date is or what this is about. You see that the picture in the picture frame is on a newspaper clipping that has that photo and the pod racer, and then beside it in the newspaper article is a photo of a like exploded pod racer. And with that 16 intelligence check, you kind of put together this rough story. This woman is somewhat important to Veltz, and there was some accident with a pod racer a long, long time ago, you must assume, since he is 9,000 years old. I will remind you.
Hey guys, you might want to look at this. I think Rosie was, or some version of her was alive at some point. Like, she was actually alive. I'm gonna take the newspaper clipping and just, like, hold it up and be like, emphasis on was.
Oh, that's so fucked up.
I don't know if this guy ever took ethics in med school, but, fuck.
Like, everything we've been through now has been a violation of medical ethics on so many levels. Like, if this guy...
I was just making a joke.
I know.
I promise you I got that inclination when I found bags of frozen blood in the meat cooler.
Guys, I think he's not on our side.
Him? Bad? Nah.
Look, I don't believe in your hocus-pocus stuff, but I do not feel good here. I feel really, really bad here. I don't like this place at all.
Yeah, I can share that sentiment.
Now let's find this fucker and figure out what we need to know.
There's another grav lift that'll take you to the top floor.
God. Well, sooner I can have this place, the better. Deuces. And I'm going to hit the grav lift.
All right, you step in. You get teleported up to someplace. Are you guys going to step in right after him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. One by one, you all arrive in a like small little like receiving room. So you guys all arrive in a like essentially a like 20 by 20 by 20 like box room that has the grav lift behind you, and then a like ornate wooden door with red painted trimmings of like swirls and like gear cogs carved into like a wooden visage around it, and this is the door to the master's quarters. You see a sign that says knock before entry, which
yeah means right.
Zero things in this context.
All right. So, someone want to go first? Do you want to crack the door like last time? Do you want to fix explosives to something? We got two more of those.
I just kind of want to break the door in.
Okay, so...
be my guest.
All right.
I'm just going to kick the door.
All right, guns up.
Yeah, shield out.
Freeze! Can I take my free action to one-hit the boss? And
can leave I would like to roll luck to have him instantaneously die, please.
It'd be great. Spontaneously combust like the Dickens villain. It'd be great.
We all get mowed down by three flamethrowers because we didn't knock first.
Can I roll for this guy sucking?
Can I roll for this guy being a little bitch?
Like,
I mean, he is 9,000 years old, so.
Yeah, who is this fuck? Come on. I really.
Okay.
We need to leave this fucking estate. I'm kidding.
I'm Rob is getting
creeped. Brennan's also getting creeped.
I'm picturing the little, the woman in the wheelchair from SpongeBob, the chocolate lady.
Chocolate.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a good Wednesday. We have just released season 4, episode 33. And I wanted to say thank you for waiting so very patiently for this episode. And I wanted to come on here to say that we have officially wrapped season 4. Kind of crazy. And what that means is the very next episode is going to be the last episode of Guildfellows ever. Kind of crazy, insane. It'll be the last like regular like story episode. We're going to have a season 4 wrap episode as we always do. And then we're going to have a podcast postmortem wrap up whatever. So as you're hearing this, if you're in our Discord channel, our question channel will be open for both season 4 questions and podcast overall questions. I think we're probably going to like go season by season and just kind of reflect and see how far we've come and all this stuff. But take this as the opportunity to kind of, you know, talk to all of us as a unit for the last time possibly. So yeah, that's what we're gonna do, which also means this is gonna be my last announcement, update, whatever thing ever probably. So yeah, I don't know, that's really all I kind of have to say. I'm a little behind on our social media pages, so I apologize for that, but we'll get there, we'll catch up. And, yeah, next week's gonna be the very last story episode, season 4 finale, and then, I'm not 100% sure when the wrap-up episodes are gonna happen. They may not happen for a while, simply because a lot of us are busy, and we're just kind of working around our schedule. So they might not happen for a few weeks. We're gonna try to squeeze them in eventually. We're gonna try to squeeze them in quick, but if they don't happen for a minute, then they won't happen for a minute. But they'll definitely at least come out this summer. I will make sure that happens. They'll come out as soon as I can wrangle everyone together. So, yeah, that's it, I think. That's all I really want to say. I don't really need to go into the regular spiel that I do because, I don't know, it's almost over. Yeah, thank you to Arcane Anthems for the theme song, as always. And thank you to everyone who has listened thus far. And we'll get into it more once those wrap-ups come out. But yeah, that's what I've got. Thank you for listening. That's all I've got for you guys today. We love you all so much. Keep your heads up. Stay safe. We love you. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
You are going to kick this door down, I guess?
Yeah, I'm just going to kick it open. Probably not kick it all the way down, just...
It'd be dope,
kind of how doors work.
I mean, you're just going to... Go ahead and roll me an athletics check.
Do it.
21.
All right.
Outcast's foot.
Force imbued foot. You heel kick this door, flies off its hinges into the darkness of a candle-lit bedroom. As you kick the door open, you see across the room a high-backed red chair and what appears to be a very young-looking Vulpterite man with a long black silken and ornately detailed bathrobe with red accents flowing all the way down the bathrobe. It covers his like a pair of enormous bulky legs and a very stocky wide frame. Hippo like features with kind of this tall expressive forehead and eyes with kind of a shovel faced mouth with tusks pointing up. And he responds to the door being kicked in his direction by saying back in this candlelit room,
"This is why I never have visitors. They never come in without kicking my shit in and destroying my stuff."
Yeah, well, you're a hard man to reach, so we figured we'd get your attention.
Aye, and now you have it. And what is it?
You had a break-in not too long ago.
Two now by my count. I don't even know what I have locks and security for if any half-wit force of hooligans can come in here and take and break my stuff.
Yeah, well, that's not really my problem. I just want to know what the other people took.
As an aside to Arklet, can I say, who is he calling halfway, you think?
I just elbow Rama to shut up right now.
Sorry. What? You came all this way to just ask me what they took?
I want to know what the significance is, and I want to know why they came here.
He considers you for a second, and you notice now that, like, next to him on a small table is an open wine bottle and a glass of, like, dark red liquid and a chalice there. He picks it up, and he stands up from his chair, and he is a, like, 7-foot-tall, like, hippo man, essentially. And he walks towards you. First, I need you to... You in particular, Elle, since you're leading this discussion, I need you to make me a DC 16 charisma saving throw.
That's a 22.
You save. He looks into you, and he raises a glass and a toast, and you feel a very potent dark energy emanate from this man's hand that approaches you. And you are able to steel yourself and in your resolve to not be affected by it, but you feel a cold and chilling fear roll down your back as this thing gestures towards you.
I mean, my mouth is closed, so I probably, like, grip my teeth as I steel myself, but then after it passes, just raise a single eyebrow at him.
So you want to know about the items taken from my vault. Let me ask you this. Why exactly do you want to know?
The people who took them have been causing trouble up north. We'd like to put a stop to it.
Aye, that'd not be a surprise. Those objects were locked in this vault at the ass pit of Coruscant, away from everything that makes being on a city-sized planet fun, so that nobody would fuck around with them. Now I would like anybody who is looking at this interaction, go ahead and make me a perception check against Veltz.
Perception.
21.
12.
Okay, 12, 21. Elle, what did you roll?
Oh, I didn't realize I was included in that.
Yeah, you can also.
Three.
So Akala, you got the 21? Okay, so Akala, as this thing like turns away from Elle and starts walking back towards its chair, you realize that this Veltz that you're looking at is a hologram. He takes a seat and says,
Are you here by any chance on behalf of the one that calls itself Rosie?
And if we were?
Well, you came all this way. If you want to know about the things that are in old Veltz's closet, we can have a chat before I kill you.
Sounds good to me.
So, the items that were taken. To explain them, I need to explain some things about myself. I am a Vulpterite. Grew up on the planet Vulpter in the Intercore. Life on Vulpter is bad. It's been polluted for thousands of years beyond the point of livability. As a young man, I was an entrepreneur. I was very skilled at crafting and understanding technology. I started my own company, Arachiad. And, well, I helped develop hyperspeed technology so that ships could travel interstellar distances and get in and out of hyperspace. But droids were always my true love. Well, fast forward, the end of my natural lifespan, the planet Vulpter was getting horribly bad. The solution was to try to build magnificent ships to travel a vast majority of the planet and its population to other star systems to colonize. However, a competitor of mine, the founder of Viper Tech Industries, a man of great renown, he had an alternative solution, which was to graft the population with a series of technology that would allow us to breathe methane, effectively turning us into cybernetic freaks. So, my planet's population was split in two when I was just venturing out on my own, into the colonizers, and to the so-called pure Vulpterites that remained on the planet as grafted monstrosities. Well, I had to start my company out in space. So early on, I started mining planets and moons in the Typhon system. Well, that system is particularly ancient, particularly sacred, and yet there was one moon on the outer reaches of Typhon that was made of pure silver, an element that is crucial in the technology that we use to make hyperdrives. So, Arachiad Industries took on a mining expedition. This planet's name... it's been so long. What is the name?
And you see the hologram, like, put its hands, in, or its head in its hands, and, like, looks like it is, like, struggling mightily to remember the details of this.
Am I able to, like, bump L and point out, like, the maybe like a flicker in the hologram or something, kind of while he's talking?
Yeah, so wait, what do you want to do?
I want to like bump L and show that there that this is a hologram and not actually him. By pointing out like a flicker or a source or something.
Yeah, you can do that. You can roll me a sleight of hand check.
Yeah. Where is that on here? Okay. It's a 7.
Go ahead and roll with advantage since he's like looking away.
Okay. Ooh, that's a 19.
19, okay. You're able to successfully communicate that however you want to narrate that.
Yeah, I think just probably while L's attention is on him, I think I just nudge L and just kind of point to like a... I probably notice like a flicker or something in the feed and just point it out.
I'll say that as he's like putting his head in his hands, you notice that like...
Yeah.
You can see like the fingers overlap a little bit his like skull. And so you can point that out. You see him like pull out from his hand and say, "Janora, that is what it was called. Yes, 9,000 years really rots some holes in your brain. Janora, a moon named Janora of pure silver. That gleamed like a pearl in the outside of the Typhon system." He takes a big swig from his goblet. Well, when we started digging, for the first few years we found not much, just silver, which was enormously helpful and profitable, and so the company grew. As we started digging out the planet more and more, making it look like a cheese wheel, we started finding ruins that had been buried in pure silver. And when we got down to the surface of the planet, everything changed. We found a massive ziggurat at the north facing end of the planet, with unintelligible symbols and languages and visages that we had not no knowledge of. Ancient dead languages from civilizations that risen and fell far before we were winking in the eye of space. Not much survived that was recoverable underneath the silver. But at the ziggurat, at the top of the zenith of the mountainous ziggurat, there was yet but a room. And in that room was a plinth. And around the plinth were 5 artifacts of great power. And me, being a man of only greed and want and desire and hunger, I reached out and took an artifact for myself. And he pushes out his right hand, and you see on his ring finger, not a wedding band, but an engagement ring, essentially, with a like dark crimson large oval-shaped gemstone in the center of it, and you notice that the band that it is affixed to is a, like, rusty blood color that kind of hues towards a purplish-green where it touches his skin, at least on the hologram that you're seeing.
What was stolen from me basement were 2 other artifacts. Well, only one be stolen, the other misplaced. In the break-in earlier, only one artifact was taken. But I had another in my possession beyond this ring. I'll explain the ring last. It's the least important for what you're needing. The crown that was taken by the Cathar shit and her lizard boy. It's called the Crown of Erebus. Don't ask me how I know its name, but it's not made up. These things speak in their own way. The Crown of Erebus is a quicksilver crown that swirls around the wearer's head. When we first discovered it, the first people that put it on their head died instantly, overcome by madness and eventually popping like ticks from their head up. However, certain individuals, a bit heartier than the rest, could withstand the crown. And in so doing, we're corrupted deeply by its influence. Started spawning all manner of vile creatures. I saw demons come out of smoke like thin air that could haunt nightmares. And so me and my business associates decided that the crown should forever be sealed somewhere where no one could use it. The other object that I had in my vault up until recently was the Orb of the One Mind, which resides with my daughter. But that's not all that important. Again, it's of minor significance. The crown itself is incredibly dangerous, and it sounds like this Cathar woman's been using it to conjure all manner of nasty beasties. Other than those three, the ring, the crown, and the orb, there was a staff. A queer thing. Not innately as evil as the others, and so it went to a kind-hearted man in the company that didn't last too long. A Rodian man, don't remember what his name was. I don't think I ever knew it. That's what you get for being the boss. You don't need to know the details. You just get the profits. The staff, it was a wooden thing. It would alternate catching fire and growing plant life. I think the Rodian man said it was called the Staff of Bendu, but I wouldn't know. Finally, the fifth item that was found on that cursed ziggurat was a dagger. Mean-looking thing, sharp and jagged. It was coated with some sort of mutagenic poison. Somebody took it and, well, a string of murders later, disappeared. Don't really know much about that one, but it's out there somewhere. And the ring. The Ring of Crimson Life. And that's this. He holds out his ring again and holds out his goblet and says,
"So tell me, how exactly did you break into this place? What was your point of entry?"
I'm gonna start sort of walking around the room. I'm gonna walk up toward him, and kind of look around, and I'm going to try and see if there are any, like, I don't know, like, secret passageways or doors anywhere where, the walls, like, a way to get to another chamber adjacent to this.
Yeah, you kind of walk around and you see, like, so there's the bed and there's, like, a small, like, working desk. There's this high-backed chair and this, like, small kind of, like, sitting and, like, eating table that he's sitting at. Some bookshelves and, like, some other, like, pieces of furniture. There's kind of, like, a reading chair. Yeah, and you do notice another door that is attached to the room. Not sure what's behind it. There's windows as well. There's, in fact, the chair is facing away from a large stained glass window on the side of this tower that you can't really tell what it is, like, at this angle, but it is, like, encompassed, like, the theme of the room is red. So the stained glass is, like, some sort of red visage with, like, other, like, dark and light colors kind of mixed in around it. That's all you're kind of seeing. Yeah, he just asked you guys how you got in.
Yeah. I'm just gonna just kind of stare him down like I'm trying to read him.
He looks at you back, and he looks down at his goblet, looks at you kind of like mean mugging him, and he splashes the mug in your face, drenching your face with blood.
Yeah, I figured it was blood.
Yeah.
Trying to mean mug me, are ya? Whose house do you think you're in? What about you two, silent ones? You want to explain how you got yourselves in here?
I'm gonna start walking toward that other door.
You need the pisser, do ya?
If there's one thing I don't fuck with, it's space vampires. You nasty motherfucker. I'm gonna kill you so many fucking times. I'm gonna bury you.
This one's got some fire. I take it you saw my locker.
I saw the blood. I don't know you're a hologram. I don't know he's a hologram yet, because I don't think I saw Oculus thing. So I saw the blood you just threw onto my friend's face. You had it in a goblet. What the fuck else you gonna do with blood in a goblet?
And if I remember correctly, there was supposed to be a shipment from the Tetraplex. So I suppose y'all haven't figured it out yet, have ya? I take your silence as a no, then. You're clever enough to get here, but you're not clever enough to know who you're even robbing from. I built that prison as a pipeline to feed my life. The ring is vampiric. It attracts you with whispers and promises when you're in its vicinity. Gets you to believe that it'll give you power and your deepest desires.
How's that working out for you?
He throws the goblet at your head. It's working out bloody fucking fine for 9,000 years until some impudent whelps came and stealing my shit.
Well, like, it seems like you have a pretty shitty quality of life, if you ask me. All you do is sit here by yourself, trucking prisoners to you so you can have something to eat. And what do? You experiment on people for fun? That's how you get your kicks?
He sits back down in his chair. You can see that he's just, like, steaming, like, mad as fuck. And he's, like, takes a second, grabs another. He just grabs the open bottle of blood and, like, drinks it, like, really sloppily in front of you. So, like, a bunch of it, like, spills on his robe. And then he throws it down in front of you with a big crash. And he says,
I am what I am. I sold that 9,000 years ago. I don't need you to tell me about my choices. Do you think that I've spent my entire life thinking that what I did was a good idea? Do you think that I don't understand the power of these cursed objects? That's why I had them locked up.
Then what are you still doing here?
What do you mean?
Well, you locked them up. You're saying you've lived longer than... Well, then, let's say, it's recommended. Your entire life is just surviving for the sake of survival. What's the point of living 9,000 years if you spend all of it just trying to get by for another day? You lost your daughter.
What did you say?
I said you lost your daughter. And I'm going to take a couple steps toward him.
Okay. You need to roll me a dexterity 16 saving throw, and all of you need to roll initiative.
Oh, God.
Really quick, Rob. So whenever the bottle splash and the blood and stuff, so is that physically impacting the area, or is it just, like, a hologram interacting, like an augmented reality type thing?
It's kind of like an AR thing. Those objects are being physically interacted with, but, like, this is a very sophisticated, like, ruse, essentially, is what the hologram signifies.
Got it. So it's like AR Disneyland, where it's imprinted onto it, and it's... So we watched it break, and it would be hard to... It's interacting with the physical environment, but the objects within that he's interacting with aren't in this room, including himself.
The blood and, like, the things are, like, real. You're just, like, you don't understand how they're being manipulated.
Oh, man. Like, so that stuff is in the room. The hologram's lifting up physical objects that are in the room.
Yeah.
The hologram exists, and physical objects are being lifted up.
Yes. That's the information you have right now.
Yeah.
Damn sophisticated hologram.
How was that saving throw?
That was a 19.
It was a 19?
Yeah.
Okay, so you take...
Taking a short rest, I'm gonna fucking die.
You take 55 halved to 22 damage of necrotic damage as a blaster appears from the back of this high-backed chair and shoots you with a green laser light.
This isn't like a force thing, yeah?
No, it is a an attack.
Okay, hold on. Let me look at my... Let me
you never into can it you when... force reflect? Can you saber reflect?
Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to force reflect. I'm not going to saber reflect. We're going to force reflect. Okay, being hit... Wait, I made a save, though. That's not a ranged attack.
Yeah.
In response to being attacked. Wait. It says in response...
You're being attacked, though, so I feel like that should work.
Yeah, I think it should work. Because it works with necrotic damage. Rob, what's your ruling?
I mean, yeah, this is essentially... I mean, so, like, it's a ray attack, and I'm bastardizing a few systems with this stat block a little bit. I'm taking a 5e monster, and I've converted it myself. So, appropriately converted, this would be normally a death ray. Mm-hmm. We're going to say that it is coming from a blaster, so normal rules apply, even though it's a saving throw. I think that you could do your force reflect on it. If
okay.
How does that work?
When I use this power, I cast it, the force cast it. I can reduce the damage I take by 1d10. I'm debating whether or not I should upcast it. I think that's a little...
I mean, how many force points do you have left?
I have 4.
Oh, it is the boss.
That's kind of low.
There's going to be time to...
I have 10 right now.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and spend it. I'm going to spend it to upcast it. I think it's worth it to take less damage.
Yeah.
So that's 2d10.
I can also heal you.
That reduces it by 11. So I take 20... So I take half of 22, so I take 11 damage.
Yes. And you take 11 damage. The hologram in front of you disappears. You see now that there was an elaborate set of very small mechanical arms that had been maneuvering things like behind the hologram, which was only semi-permeable, now you're realizing. So an incredibly sophisticated hologram. And the high-backed chair rotates around, and sitting in an identical copy of the chair that you were just looking at that was concealed by the very high back is an incredibly old and withered Volpterite who is bawling their eyes out. And that is where we're end the session.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.